God is good. And all the time, God is good. It is another morning that God has blessed us to be able to come out to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we are to be eternally grateful for that. There are fewer in the house this morning, but nevertheless, the services of the Lord must go on. We don't speak by the number, we speak by the truth. And this is what we are prepared to do this morning. The scripture was read for your hearing from Romans chapter 13, verses number 7 and verse number 8, which I'll reread. It says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law." This morning, for a few minutes, we want to talk about rendering unto others. But before we go into the sermon, the message, let us go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again because you kept us here that we may have this opportunity to the tree of life. We thank you for sending Jesus that made this all possible when he hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for each and every member in the audience this morning. Thank you for each and every guest here. And we pray for our membership as well as their family members. We pray and thank you, Father, and ask you to bless and be with those who are sick. Our prayer list and our sick list is growing, but Father, we know that you know best, and we thank you for that, and we pray for that their blessings, that through your blessings, that they may be healed. We pray for those who have lost loved ones recently, and we just pray that their strength be renewed and their faith in you continue to be renewed. Thank you, O Lord. Father, when we have done all that we have been asked to do upon this land, when we remember Jesus Christ from that cross, when we have walked that last mile of the way, when our duties don't carry us no longer carries us any further, we pray, O Lord, for a home with thee in thy heavenly abode. Thank you, O Lord, for everything you do for us. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray for and ask it all. Let us all say, amen. Rendering unto others. It is a great and honorable privilege to be a member of the Lord's church. But many do not feel the responsibility that God would have us to feel. Sometimes we do not always take our responsibilities to heart as we should. When parents bring children into the world, there should be serious consideration about what their responsibilities are. So it is when one becomes a member of the body of Christ, it is not to be taken lightly. Jesus suffered and died to purchase this church, and we too must be prepared to fulfill some duties. And while we are to be faithful and obedient to the end, we owe some things to each other. From the text today of Romans 13, chapter 13, verses 7 and verse number 8, the word render means to give back of a righteous act. Now, don't confuse rendering with the word as used in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 17, where it says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." Now that word recompense also means to give back, but not evil for evil. Recompense, which also means giving back, but we're going to talk about rendering. When we look at verse number 8 of our text today, we can see the writer telling us, owe no man anything but love for one another. God showed us his love toward us, showed his love toward us by giving of his only begotten Son to die on the old rugged cross so that we might have everlasting life. Many, maybe I should change that word that I pencil in here, and many, maybe I should say some, find it hard to love others because maybe it's because they don't trust in God enough. We cannot train a person to love another person. We can only teach them what the Word of God tells us to do. But only God can teach one to love one another. He can teach through our hearts and through the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 9, ye are taught of God to love one another. Oh yes, I'm on that again. We must open our hearts and minds, and hand our minds over to God. Is love really that important, some may ask? Well, let us look at visit the Word of God and see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Go over with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you will. First Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says in verse number 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. When we look at the Bible, there is much importance given to love or to charity. True love for God and man comes out of devotion to God. The Corinthian writer tells us there in verse number 1 of chapter 13 that no matter how much he may have, if one does not have love, it would simply be empty conversation. Though one may have the gift of prophecy and understanding of all mysteries and knowledge, even having all faith enough to move mountains and have not love, he is nothing. So no matter what you have accomplished, what you have achieved, what you have, if you don't have love, you have nothing. And verse number 3 tells us, look at verse number 3 if you will. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Oh, love is super important in the realm of the Word of God. Because it teaches us there that no matter what you have gotten, what you have accomplished, love, without love, it's nothing. All of the goods that he has, that one may have to feed the poor and then give our own bodies to burn, have nothing. None of these things mean anything without love. Love is very important in God's plan for us. No matter what one may be capable of, no matter what one may have accomplished in life, he has not love, he has nothing. Love never faileth. We need more love in this world today, for the Bible calls for it. We need it badly. You know, when you turn on the news or you read your newspaper every day, you can see the lack of love in the world. Because nobody seems to care about one another. It's every man for himself, all for one and one for all. But that's not the case. It's all for me and nobody else. When I think about how evil some people are today, I consider what the Bible says, that without love, you are nothing. You have nothing, no matter what you may have. You have nothing. Also, we are to be hospitable to one another. We are to show hospitality. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 9, it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Oh, that word in there, grudging. Oh, don't pretend that you want to show me hospitality. It must be from your heart. More Christians are to show one another more than just a smile. Hospitality means more than a smile. It means to be friendly to those in need of a friend. I may as well let you know this while I'm here for a moment. Talk is cheap, so is friendliness. But when it's not from the heart, then hospitality means nothing. Christians can be friendly to us, but so can our enemies be friendly to us. But think about it. Hospitality means visiting those who are down and out. According to James 1 and 27, he puts it this way. We all should understand pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to help himself keep himself spotted from the world. Now, what does that mean? Well, I believe that the Bible picked out, this is just my opinion. Now, I believe the Bible picked out widows and the fatherless because they're a vulnerable group. Without visiting the widows and the fatherless, we're not showing hospitality. Now, but thank God today, you can pick up your cell phone. You can pick up your home landline telephone. You can pick up a phone and call somebody. And that's like visiting them. You don't have to go all the way over on the other side of town to do your Christian duty. Our Christian duty is to be undefiled, keep ourselves undefiled before God and the Father. One part of our Christian service is to check in on and visit those fatherless and widows. The word is very plain in this matter. In other words, we must do right in order to be right. 1 John 3 and verse number 10, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Hospitality also means helping those who are in need. 1 John again, chapter 3 again, verse 17 and 18, teaches us whosoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? And verse number 18 says, let us love. Verse number 17. So if you've got it all and I come to you and I'm hungry, if you see me in need, don't tell me about somebody else you once knew who was like me. Help me out of my situation. This is what hospitality is all about. If you have food and I'm hungry, I don't want to hear your story about how good your dinner was, but fix me a plate. Let me decide how good it was on my own. What good does it do for my stomach to hear your war stories when I'm hungry? What good does it do for you to tell me about somebody you once knew when all you have to do is just show me a little hospitality and help me out of the situation I'm in? You know, some of us, we like to talk about how good we are. You tell me that you're really good and that you're the best thing since sliced bread. But yet you don't want to help one another and show one another hospitality. You know, I think that you can show me a better sermon than you can tell me. If you help somebody, then the word would get around and you won't need to come to me for validation, because you've helped somebody already. Look at the text again in verse number, Romans verse 13, chapter 13 and verse number 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. But then in verse number 8, it gets down to the real heart of the matter. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. If you love me, then show it. And I oftentimes stand before you and talk about love. Well, maybe I haven't seen the love that I talk about yet. So maybe I'll just keep on going on it. So I tell you this morning, We've got to love one another. We've got to show hospitality to one another. And then we've got to render to each other prayer. James 5 and 16, you know where this one goes. Teaches us to confess your faults one to another and to pray one for another that you may be healed. No matter how faithful one may be, there may come a time, and I'll use me, when I find myself lost in something, or I find myself standing in the need of prayer. Now, I believe all of us stand in the need of prayer at some times or another. My afflictions may not be visible, but my heart may be getting heavy at times. It may be physical, financial, or emotional problems. But when one asks for prayer, pray for him or her. Don't search into their business to find out what they've done or what it's all about. Just pray for them. The Bible says, pray for one another that you might be healed. When one asks for prayer, just pray for them. If I stand in the need of prayer one time or another, I want you to pray for me when I'm standing in the need of those prayers. I want you not to question me so hard, but just simply pray for me. Now, praying for me might help me get through a bad situation. The Bible teaches us to bear ye one another's burden in Galatians chapter 6. One may be asking for prayers of forgiveness. This is where kindness come in. According to Ephesians 4 and 32, we are to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, where would you be without forgiveness? All these things will not only help us to be better Christians, but it'll also help the church to grow. There's nothing better to help growth than members who are committed to the Word of God and to the rendering of others their Christian duties. We won't ever be able to grow the church until we grow ourselves. The elders can't grow the church all by themselves. The preacher can't grow the church all by himself. It takes all of us working together to help grow the church up. Do you remember in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 4 where Jesus told Peter, he said, launch out and let down your nets for a drought. Peter, who was like some of us at times, began to sort of question the response of the words of Jesus. He said to Jesus, Lord, we've already been out here all night. We haven't caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. But not before he got his thought in there. Lord, we've been out here all night. Lord, we've been at this church 15 or 20 years. We haven't seen a whole lot of growth. Well, God can work instant miracles. God can work on his time and not our time. So if he tells us to do something, we ought to do it. When we accept that faith will bring us much, if we just allow it to work within us, we can create growth. What was Peter's take on that? Well, Peter got more fish. He got a multitude of fishes, all because he obeyed the word of God. We can accomplish great results when we trust in God, render to others as we should, have faith in the Lord, and become obedient to his will. Now remember what the text says in verse number 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. If I passed out a test to all of you today and asked you to mark the correct answers, I wonder how many of you would put something in there that shows that maybe I'm not ready to love one another. I wonder if the question was asked, do you love your brother and sister? Somebody might put a period or a question mark and say, which one? But that's not the way to do. He said, love one another. Not which one, but love one another. And we can't love if we've got hatred in our minds and in our hearts. We can't love if we don't trust in the Lord, because we're saying, Lord, I know what you're saying, but I'm just not ready to give in to that. I don't like the color of his socks. I don't like the color of her blouse. I don't like the color of the way they dress the kids. Well, that ain't none of your business. You still ought to love them. We owe no man anything but to love one another. Then hospitality and prayers and everything else comes easy. When I think about what it said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, I'm just a noisemaker. And although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. But then I want you to notice as we continue to read in that chapter. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself up. It's not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. And then drop down to verse number 8. Charity, that word means love. Charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fall. Where there be tongue, they shall cease. And where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. All that stuff that one has means nothing without love. Love is the key to everything that we do, and love is the key to all that God wants us to do. And I envision sometimes a church that's full of love, a church that has no evil, a church that has nothing but the love of God and the love of its fellow man. Wouldn't that be a wonderful congregation, church? That would be a wonderful congregation. But you know what? Through keeping our faith in Jesus Christ, being obedient to his word, we can get there. We can get there. It's not an easy road or easy task, because we have to break old habits. We have to break old traditions. But you know something? The word of God is not built on old habits. The word of God is clear, plain and clear for us to see and for us to obey and for us to live by. When we follow the word of God, we can be as the Bible teaches us to be. And remember, when it comes time that we all going to have to face a death in this life, if we live, we're going to die. And when we die, somebody is going to roll a body or casket up on before the front of the church. And you're going to have some people that are going to stand up and talk about how good this person were. How great this person was. And how much they loved them, but they never told them. How much hospitality they showed them, but they never showed them. How many times they prayed with them and for them, but they never prayed with them and for them. But then I tell you something, church. When we have to face the judgment, we're going to be asked, we're going to be questioned about every idle word and every idle deed that we've done, and it's going to come up again. That's all I'm saying. And we're going to have to answer for that. And then, when we stand before the mighty throne of God, the judgment seat of God, of the Lord. And he asked us to explain, and probably most of us might not even remember what we did so many years back. But we're going to have to explain. He's going to bring it to our memory. And we're going to have to explain everything that we did, everything that we said. And do you want to have to explain why you didn't love your brother and your sister? Do you want to explain to them why you didn't show hospitality to your brother and sister? And that time when they asked you to pray for them, you told them, okay, I'll pray for you. I'll see you later. And didn't pray for them. You're going to have to bring, all that's going to come up again. Now, I like in my prayers, when I pray, I sometimes like to call out the names of the people that ask me to pray for them. And I'll tell you, the names are getting harder to remember these days because the list grows longer. But we've got to remember to pray for them and call their names sometimes. So God already knows who you're praying for, but sometimes it helps God to know where you are, although he already knows physically. I'm talking about where your faith and your mind and your heart is at. But I just want to say to you this morning, we've got to love a little bit more. All these empty seats in here this morning. Now, I don't know where everybody is at, and I know most of you probably don't know where they're at either. But somebody ought to be questioning somebody you know. Why weren't you? I missed you last week. I hope everything is all right. You don't have to ask them their business, but I just missed you last week. I hope you know that, and I just want you to know that I missed you. And then as you get into the conversation, then you can go a little further and say, you know, you should have been there last week. We didn't have a lot of people in here, but church went on just the same. Now, with that said, you got to do some work. You got to do some work in order to accomplish that goal. You got to call or visit somebody. You've got to talk to somebody. And I know many of us don't like to talk to folks. We don't like to talk because we say we don't know what to say to them. Well, if you know what the Bible says on something, you can say something to them. Tell them that God is good. Tell them God is all the time good, and good, God is good all the time. Tell them that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Tell them a little bit about the day that Christ died on the cross, how that he gave up the ghost, and how that he lived and died, and that he is resurrected, and he's back living, sitting on the right hand of his Father. Tell them something. There's something that you know about the Bible. And when you get through, you'll be surprised how much you've actually have in your knowledge bank. Because God is good. And then, in order to continue to be faithful unto God, you live your life in obedience to him. Ask the Lord to forgive you and bless you if you've fallen short. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized.
197. Have thine own way. Have thine